Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
His name was Jeremy. He was on WordPress with a passion for youth sports and some free time on his hands. That SB Nation, they came a-calling. Despite trying to perfect his art, he knew something wasn't right. Then Chris came writing on and started poking fun. They decided to start a podcast, and who could ask for more at the Mountain West Connection. Just be sure you don't ever skip this section here at the Mountain West Connection. Recaps and previews, such stats, and just random at the Mountain.
Welcome back to the Mountain West Connection show here. Jeremy, hanging out with Chris. Championship weekend. And as always, you can join us at MWCConnection.com, MWC Connection on Twitter, Mountain West Connection on Facebook. Yeah, we're like I said last time, the show that got lost, we're taking over the world.
It's a complete list of champions, Paul!
Exactly. Are you going to do that voice the whole time?
Do you want me to do that voice for the whole time?
No, I would not.
This is SEC country. Did you not see the championship game yesterday? It was replaced with the SEC championship game. We got all the defense. They got all the points. It ain't fair. The referee system, the BCS system is rigged.
Is that all you got?
Right, yeah, that's all I got right now. I don't have anything to drink right now, so it progressively can't get worse.
That's the plan. That is the plan.
You have me kept here so I can't, like, physically get up and get something to drink.
Correct. But this show, I apologize for no... We actually did a nice hour-long preview show with Matt and Ben, but apparently I had some technical difficulties on my end, and, well... That show was lost. You were lucky to get the Aaron Taylor show. So that's all I can say about that. That took a lot of work to get that up.
We were lucky to get the Aaron Taylor show because things.
Yeah. Technical issues on my end. But title game. This score outcome. The only person that saw this coming was our good friend John Cassio, who had a low-scoring game with Fresno State winning.
And he was pretty much almost – if Utah State had scored – he would have been on target, providing Utah State missed the two-point conversion.
Had they missed the two-point conversion.
He predicted 24-23. What else do you want me to say?
I'm just saying that that was a good one. But I kind of thought if that was the game, the score, Utah State would have won. Because
right, first quarter, I thought the same exact thing.
This was a – everybody says, including me, Fresno State's defense is not very good. They showed up and had 9 sacks, a couple interceptions. They played very well.
Yeah, no, they played. They showed they could play defense, which was weird.
Well, it also helps when Daryl Garrettson's an okay quarterback. So yeah. What was your thoughts during the first quarter when it was only 3-0? Because there's the first play, like Devontae Adams' strip or fumble was crazy. He caught the ball on the sideline, comes down. Utah State guy pulls the ball right out of his arms. Like, oh, crap, what's going to happen here?
Well, it was only 3-0 in the first quarter. I honestly thought that it was going to be what we talked about on the podcast that never got recorded.
Hold on. Mic check. Can you still hear me?
Mic check. I can still hear you.
I saw the light turn off, so I'm making sure to hold it just still. I'm like, go. Because you did you not hear my Devonta Adams question then or reference?
Yes, no. Yes, I did.
Okay. Just making sure. Okay.
So, and this kind of relates back to the question, but it doesn't maybe quite answer the way you want. Basically, when I saw the score at 3-0 earlier, it was just – it was like the podcast that we talked about last Thursday that never actually got recorded. Either this was going to turn into an offensive shootout and Fresno was just going to blow them away, or it was – you know, when it started high defense, I got actually pretty scared that Utah State was actually going to run away with the game.
Well, the thing with that, they – because even though there's a defensive effort in there for both sides, Utah State was having trouble moving the ball, where Fresno State was still moving the ball, and then something happened.
Yeah.
Because in the first quarter, what was there, 5 sacks on total, I think, something like that?
Yeah, it was something
crazy. A lot of pressure on each side.
I think Fresno State ended up with the night for about, you know.
They had 9 sacks.
Eight or nine sacks, yeah.
They did have 9 because we knew Fresno State had the second, I think this is the 1 and 2 sacking teams. And Fresno only gave up 5 sacks all year in this game. I think they gave up 5 alone. And then the second quarter started.
Yeah.
Or actually, before, did you notice, it's kind of funny, Devontae Adams was struggling early on against a 5'0" defensive back. It's true. He was getting handled by some little guy. And then I was doing my recap again. Like, how did he actually do? Because you didn't hear his name all that often. He still had 9 catches for 168.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous. Like, I was over at my friend's house watching the championship game. So that means I didn't get to watch the championship game in its entirety because there was a better Big Ten championship on first that we had to pay attention to before we watched it. But it was funny because I was looking at the halftime stats, and it was halftime, Derek Carr, 25 of 37, or like 24 of 36, something like that. 321 yards at halftime.
Yeah, he had a lot of yards. The second quarter, he just tore it up.
So I was like, yep. And Carr's not going to get a Heisman invitation for whatever reason.
He might now with Jordan, with Northern Illinois falling.
And Jordan Lynch not looking good. But the problem is Derek Carr didn't look great on the other hand either.
Well, he finished at 404 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, but he had 2 picks on top of it.
Back to – yeah, we'll get those picks in a minute. But the second quarter – this game nearly turned into a blowout we thought it would be. It was 17-0, driving down the field. And I don't know what Dave Schramm's problem is. You have one of the – okay, first of all, Fresno didn't have Josh Harper in the game, which hurt them a little bit until they realized they have Marcell Jensen, who's a pretty good tight end. Instead of going for – even you have a decent running back from Joshua Quezada and Marquise Waller. They're okay. They did all right. They're not bad. Let's go ahead and do an option play with Derek Carr on the short end of the field. So they're on the right hash mark, your right side option. Jake Dowdy takes the ball and returns it 87 yards for a touchdown. So instead of being 24-0, 17-7 going into the half.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
That, watch him go, I'm like, did that really just happen right now? Is that the case there? Yeah, apparently, yes. The answer is yes, that happened. And it's like... and there was 3 seconds on the clock by the time he returned down the field. Probably 10 seconds. It took him a while to get down the field. But, geez. They get that in there. It's a completely different game. Because if it's 24-0, this game would not have been close at all. It would have been, like we said, blowout in the making. But Dave Schramm tries to run a stupid play in the 5-yard line.
My favorite part of the whole game.
Which is, yes?
The end. Where Fresno State was quite literally continuously going for it on fourth down when they had no business to, and letting Utah State, like, okay.
I told people that would happen.
So there was us on the Mountain West chat, and we were kind of talking about it, and we were like, well, what the hell's going on? And then you go to EDSBS in the comment thread, and they're like, nobody wants this game to hand. Hamception. Come on, Utah State, score it.
Yes.
Score the time. So football can never end. I can only imagine what would have happened if Utah State was able to get it together and score.
Well, before we're kind of skipping ahead quite a few things there before that happened, but we'll get to that interesting call again. I don't know if that was Dave Schramm or Tim Drew took over on that play call, but it was a mess in late in the game, but second half started, and Derek Carr threw – well, Utah State wasn't doing anything, but Derek Carr threw back-to-back interceptions to start the second half.
Yeah, it did not look good.
Yeah, because Fresno, I believe they stopped Utah State. So Utah State had the punt, which is good, fine. Got picked off by Brian Sweet twice, 2 plays in a row or 2 possessions in a row. If Utah State could have scored on any of those, they would have had a chance, but they got no points out of it.
Not even just would have had a chance. They would have easily taken the lead.
Even if they kicked 2 field goals, 13-17, the way the game ended.
Yeah.
And then Fresno went down and got the – Devontae Adams got his touchdown. So it's up 24-7. I kind of thought the game was over at that point.
However, that was clear. Again, clearly we're wrong in predicting how the game's going to end.
However, we're clearly wrong in this whole predicting, yeah. Either we should stop just predicting games, period.
No, what's wrong? What's wrong with that?
Or just Utah State really controlled the game how they wanted to control the game, but for reasons beyond injuries and no offense.
Well, they didn't have Travis Reynolds either, and they missed their tight end and lineman.
Yeah. Once again, I'm very confident that if Chucky Heaton was playing this game, this would be a completely different outcome. Of course, the season for Utah State in general would have been the outcome.
They could have been they would have had what, 2 losses, 10-2,
two losses.
Utah USC.
But know what? I tell you something. Utah State got a pretty damn good reward for losing the championship game.
They do. We'll get to that. But you're jumping far ahead down the line. What are you doing?
I thought we were almost done.
Almost. We're not there. I want to get setting up that excellent play where people.
Okay, fine. We'll set up the excellent play and then we'll go.
Well, but what we're talking about here, the game, the last drive, or the drive where they actually scored, it was not Daryl Garrett's in the game. He got, I guess, wanted a targeting call.
Yeah.
When Dollar Joe just crushed him.
It was, yeah, that should, I don't know. You know what, targeting has been rough all year, but I think that was a targeting call.
Yeah, I was like, gee. And now you saw him on silent afterwards, like he was just out of it. You could tell. He's like, where am I at? What am I doing here? He's just kind of sitting there.
Which is, yeah.
Not good.
That's classic concussion system. I mean, considering I had a concussion earlier this year, yeah, that's exactly what goes on. I mean, that's almost borderline, I don't want to say amnesia, but if he got hit hard enough.
Well, that can happen, because I remember, like, I don't know why I remember this all the time, but when Ty Denver played for the Eagles, he got crushed, concussion, and he's like, yeah, I'm fine. They asked you to back then. That's a long time ago. He was calling off plays from his BYU days 10 years before. So it's kind of like, where are you at? What's going on? He did look like that. He's kind of like, I'm just hanging out, I guess. That's what it seemed like, but this is pretty serious. But they brought in the backup, Craig Harrison, I don't know if they thought how serious the injury was, because the first play, they got a penalty. Or no, he was sacked. Or no, she's not sacked. We got the face mask penalty, then just a handoff to Bruce Natson, who, in our unaired show, Ben said would have a big game. And then Harrison,
what you're basically proving is that our special team guys know exactly what we're talking about.
Exactly. We tried to get them this evening, but they are more busier than us. But
basically, nobody likes us anymore, and so we're just doing the podcast.
Because I didn't record the show last week, so I could play the show. It'd be everybody but me. That's what it would be. Maybe that'd be better. It would be quite interesting. But Craig Harrison came in. He did fine. He handed the ball off, got the touchdown. And then the onside kick, what? That was the weirdest, one of the oddest onside kicks, that pooch kick. That actually worked, because there was one earlier in the day that was just completely the worst thing ever done.
There was. The Big Ten Championship, Michigan State, Ohio State.
That's what it was. Yep, that's what it was. I was watching both. But they, for Utah State, got the onside kick. And then they also got their first play. They also got a face mask as well. They started at their first play from scrimmage at the 23-yard line. They don't get many. They did get down to 3, and they kicked a field goal 24-17. Now, here's where it got interesting. Here's that fourth down play everybody's talking about. 4th and 2 at the 39 at the is that the right one or is it the one after it? No, it's a different one. No, it's 2 of them.
No, there were a couple fourth downs.
Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong one. Okay, forget it. This next one upcoming, they went for it on 4th and 2, which was a fine call because at the 39-yard line, they don't get it. I don't see why they don't pass in that situation, but that's me. Utah State, nothing. Now, here's the play we're talking about. 4th and 3 at your 29-yard line. Chris, can you tell me how far a field goal that is?
Hold on. Give me a second. 25 or 29?
Yes.
29 plus 15 is 44. That's a 44-yard field goal.
Well, it's actually
minimum. 44 to 46. Yeah, 44 to 46. It just depends on where the kicker lines up. Yes.
Most college kickers should make that, right? Yes, no?
Yeah.
It's questionable to be a force, not a given, but if they make it, you gotta be a decent college kicker. What was your thought? Like, what would you have done? You're up by only 7 points, you're that close. Fourth and three. What would your play
punt
call be?
Punt the damn ball.
Excellent. What I would have done, which they've done before, do the pooch kick with Derek Carr. They've done that this year, I think, at least once or twice. I think they've done it twice. And I think in the San Diego State game, they did it once as well. I thought they would have done it because he backed up behind the running backs next to him because he had, I believe, Quezada and Walter next to him, took a step back when he came in and did handoff to Quezada and got 1 yard gain, and that's it. And I don't understand. Why would you do that? Your running game wasn't good all day. Your guy's averaging 2.5 yards a carry. You're not – like, I think I mentioned it somewhere in a preview or we discussed this game so much. Fresno State can't go under center and get one yard to beat it. They're in shotgun, and they do a running play. Almost a draw play. It looked like kind of a delayed handoff a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what?
And
it's a terrible play call. Terrible.
No, it should have just – I totally agree with you. The pooch kick would have worked fine. I don't know what DeRuiter was thinking there.
Or Schramm. I'm not sure he made the call.
Or Schramm.
It could have been DeRuiter at that point. And then people were saying, hurry up and punt again at the very end. But they're lucky that Utah State ended up winning when Dallas Jones got the interception off Craig Harrison. But there was a play earlier, like I'll go back one possession earlier. I think the first play that Harrison threw, that was in the end zone. They got that pass interference. If it was there was no PI, Utah State could have won that game. It wasn't even bad pass interference. It kind of got him just enough. If it's first throw, I'd be crazy. Quarterback backup, quarterback comes in, first throw, touchdown. But that wasn't the case. Donald Jones saved the game, and our favorite defender, Jerron Smith, won the Defensive Player of the Game award.
Do you think was that it well deserved?
I don't hit a sack and a pick. I tried to look up tackles. Mike couldn't find tackles, but why not give it to Donald Jones, who made the game saving pick, if you're going to give it to the
Yeah, exactly.
Even though he did not have Gerritsen, kind of a interesting. Well, just a bad. You know what I mean? Knock him out of the game, targeting or not, but if you're giving the guy who actually saved the game for you, not the guy who had sack and picks, not a bad game by any means, but the guy who gets actually game.
No, it's quite a good game. It's just, though, and is it based off name alone? I mean, that'd be like, to me, that would be something like of the sort that, you know, it was Deontay Dion getting two picks, but it was DeMarcus Lawrence getting the defensive player of the game because he had three sacks.
The thing is, Dallin Jones had the same thing. He had a sack and a pick. But he had the better pick.
He had the better pick, but he also had the targeting call, so that might have was hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. So is there anything that different that Utah State could have done to win this game?
Offensive line.
Yeah. Obviously, you have nine sacks.
Well, you have nine sacks, but I mean, if the sacks added up more to than what the holding penalties would have.
Yeah, because neither team was good. They had a lot of penalties: 8 for 85 for Utah State, 7 for 59. Did you see Isaiah Burris? Did you see how many receptions he had?
I want to say it was one or two. Like, he was non-existent throughout the game. It was mostly Devontae Adams.
Are you really going there?
I don't know.
17.
Okay, it was the opposite way. I knew it was it's either one or the other. No. Listen. Because I knew Devontae Adams was the one who let in yards. I assumed he let in receptions as well.
No, he did not. And then I think the main difference for the reason Fresno State ended up winning because Utah State's front seven with Nick Vigil, Jack Dowdy, all those guys, Kyle Fracker, they attacked. And then Fred D. Shrimp's like, well, let's go to our fast wide receiver on the outside. Like, they pretty much all the second quarter had Devontae Adams be a decoy and just throw do the four bunch wide receivers, the quick pass to Isaiah Burson on the run. That's how they scored the touchdown, one of them. He ran from 9 yards out and dove in. They spread the field horizontally, and Utah State couldn't cover with that many line receivers on the field. And I think that's where it pretty much tipped to Fresno's favor, and they just kept going with it.
So let me ask you this. Which receiver has been more valuable to Carr?
Adams.
Adams flat out?
Yeah.
There's nothing for Burst there?
No, he's very, very, very – they're both NFL caliber players, but easily. But the way Adams does, he has 23 touchdowns this year. And he's not somehow, and Anthony and Matt are both upset about how he's not on the Blitnikoff finalist award where he has 10 more touchdowns than the...
Was he even on the watch list?
Semi-finalist.
I don't know how you're not named a finalist. If you're leading, statistically...
Because, yeah, it was... Let me pull it up. Like, I actually started pulling up as you were talking about. He had his 22 or 23 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's 23.
Yeah, 23 touchdowns, leads nations, 122 receptions and leads nations, and still has a and is second in yards per game. And he even missed. There was no Colorado game. If they play Colorado, who knows, another touchdown or two, another eight receptions.
I'm going to go, yeah, I'd probably eight receptions, couple touchdowns.
One or two. Give him 100. Give him 1,800 yards, 130.
Hell, like, it could be up to three. Touchdowns that he played Connor.
Yeah, I figured, not safe to say one or two, at least two, but no, he's by far, he led in every category, and it's not somehow Sammy Watkins made the list, who has 10 total touchdowns. 10.
But the Mount West ain't like the ACC, Paul. You know, Sammy Watkins had to go play Florida State.
38 less receptions.
Yeah, but he it's hard to be a non-factor in a game. That's championship caliber, Paul.
The best thing ever, hard not to be a factor. Wow.
But just look at Jadeveon Clowney.
He double teamed all day, yeah, whatever. And also, of course, Derek Carr, was he deserving of the MVP of the game?
Yes, flat out, yes.
Or Isaiah Burris' 17 receptions don't count for anything. I guess he throws for 404 yards, so.
Yeah, I think you got to look at – I think you have to look at it this way. Carr, Burris, Adams, both invaluable to Carr. However, it was Carr who was the one who was putting them on the spot.
Correct. That's what he does all year.
So that's basically my argument for a quarterback being, quote-unquote, more valuable than a receiver, even though they are both equally valuable.
Yeah. I got you. I'm starting to actually dig into Utah State stats. They did not play good on offense at all.
No. It was a horrible offensive game.
I knew they were very good, but I'm just looking now. Joey DeMartino had a one run of 13 yards, but 54 in the day. The average includes sacks. That kind of skews it, but 1.3 yards per attempt. You take away the sacks, that's still gives them like not even 90 yards on the day. Darrell Garrettson was barely 50% in the pick. Yeah, their offense was not – if it wasn't for their defensive backs and their defense, they end up – obviously, Jake Doughty returned the touchdown. Blowout city. All right. Anything else to add to this title game?
Not too much.
All right. Coaching or bowl news?
Well, let's might as well do coaching.
Coaching news. As we tried to discuss in our last show, there's a plane to track in Boise to Seattle.
That plane was the plane that hired Coach Chris Peterson.
Yeah, Chris Peterson is going to Washington. We discussed on the show, and I thought – we are both 100% accurate. You said last ditch effort, it's this or nothing. I kind of felt the same thing. But when he didn't get back on the plane, were you expecting him to stay in Boise? Because I'm pretty sure I even put on Twitter 99%. He's not. If he didn't get on that plane, he's not going anywhere.
No, I flat out said that. I flat out said the fact that he wasn't on that plane. There was a chance that he just wanted to stay in Boise to maybe. Yeah, sleep it over, but I was 99% sure he wasn't going to Washington.
That's usually how it is.
Well, especially since that's how he works.
Well, him too, but even not even just him, but how everybody works. If you don't get on the plane, it's usually you're not going.
Yeah. So
he leaves. Now there's a whole bunch of something going on. We don't know what's going on. Chris Wilcox, Justin Wilcox, former Boise defensive coordinator. He's been in Tennessee and now Washington. He, I guess, hired for applied for the Washington job or interviewed. Didn't get it. But Washington names Marcus Truax Sissoko, the quarterback's coach, their interim bowl coach. That'll be interesting when for that
I'll
game.
Tell you what. There are reports right now that Kwiatkowski is going to be following Pete to Washington as along with Robert Prince. This might be Wilcox's chance to apply for the Boise job.
Well, that's what I put in. I found this out a couple days ago. Like, it was meant to pay well, but it was a coaching search, and I trust him very well. This was put on there, like, last Friday night that he's heading to be the same DC. Because I guess it was first Wilcox was going to go to USC, but that's not the case. So it has to be – I heard some random names, but isn't it just – it's got to be Wilcox or Brian Harsin's job. Is that – those two make the most sense.
Yeah, although I've got one more name to add in there just for pure chaos purposes.
Jeff Tedford?
No. That coach all!
You always –
No, actually, I heard a report that Hawkins was interviewing for the job. I was like, why the hell?
Dude, he got fired midseason after winning CFL.
Yeah, no, he's not, no. And if Boise were to hire Hawkins again, that'd be a huge mistake because that would be taking a step backward. I think seeing Peterson at the reins, we knew who the mastermind really behind Hawkins
was. Guess who? It's Dirk Cotter who's also interviewed. But guess
Dirk
who also
Cotter.
Dirk Cotter. Guess who also interviewed for the job? Interim bowl coach Bob Gregory has interviewed for the head coaching job.
Doesn't surprise me.
And Cotter has not interviewed yet, at least not today because he's NFL today.
We could say welcome back, Cotter.
Of course.
So as long as Lane Kiffin doesn't apply for the job.
That's so who do you want for the job?
Who do I want for the job?
Do you want a retreading Dirk Cotter back?
No, I don't want Dirk Cotter back.
Okay.
I think if you've been a head coach at one place and you come back, I think that
John it's Robinson. Not a good
John Robinson, Chris Ault to a certain extent. But Ault is fine.
Also has what his name spaces me in Kansas State. Crap. Old man's like 90 years old.
Bill Snyder.
Yeah, Bill Snyder. That's about it. There's only very few. Those are the two people that have done well in that position. And Chris Ault did much better the second time around, and you could arguably say maybe Snyder did as well.
But as a general rule, it's not good. Yeah, exactly. Especially if you've been cut from your positions. Cotter hasn't been cut. But Hawkins, on the other hand...
He might get fired because the Falcons are terrible.
Yeah. Hawkins, on the other hand, though, just flat out sucks.
So, you didn't answer the question. Who do you want, then?
I got to think about this. Obviously, I think either Wilcox or Harsin... I think would be the two best options. But sometimes I think that, you know, thinking outside the box might be
Their assistant head coach, Gregory?
Gregory would be logical in the fact that for the last however many years, Boise State has promoted it internally. Cotter, Hawkins.
Yeah, that's part of it too, yeah.
Yeah.
That is part of it as well, where that's what they've done. And every coach they've brought in from inside has done perfectly fine. But yeah, I think Bill Gregory's resume at the highest level is not that great.
No, but once again, Peterson's wasn't either.
But at least he was the offensive coordinator for a while. He actually had a good position. Gregory, I'm pulling up now, trying to think where he's at. I know he wrote about it, but...
I would also say that maybe this is a time to kind of, you know, think outside the box here.
Well, who else? I'm looking at Coaching Search, Football Rumor Mirror, all those sites that track all this stuff. But
Tedford? No. Ooh, I got a name to completely piss off all Idaho fans.
Rob Akey?
Yes.
That's not going to happen.
Hey, he's 1-2, 1-3 on the blue turf, right? His only win coming at the Humanitarian Bowl.
Oh yeah, not even against Boise State.
You know, I do have to say, it speaks volumes if you can get Idaho to a bowl game.
Oh, it does. But Yeah. So you're still evading the question.
I said, logically, you would go with Harsin or Wilcox.
Okay.
But you know what? If I had a top choice, I would want. Is there a way that I can have both as like a co-head coach?
No, that's not gonna
happen. Damn it. But I mean, if I were to have my choice over the two, I'd want Wilcox over Harsin.
Why is that?
I think you give Wilcox his first opportunity as a head coaching gig. He's the one. Boise State right now is out of this kind of offensive funk, but they've been known for having strong defenses the last couple of years. Keep that up and then rebuild the offenses.
But in the Mountain West, you need an offense, man. You're not going by being a defensive juggernaut. Utah State's the closest thing, and they could have even slowed down
a little bit. San Diego State as well, though.
Yeah.
I think he could be a defensive juggernaut in the Mountain West.
I don't see how it's possible. It's like the Big 12. They got no defense. They just score 80 points every game.
Big 10, I mean...
I guess if you build your team the right way, you could on defense, but it's going to be take a lot longer. But I guess we're also assuming they're not going to hire a good offensive coordinator. But because here's the thing, let's say they bring in Wilcox. Because assuming all these reports are correct, saying the D coordinator and O coordinator following Peterson to Washington, would they even think about bringing back in Brett Peach to be the OC if Wilcox is the head coach?
I'd be okay with that.
But he did okay in Texas, went to Florida with Muschamp, but. Pretty much flamed out terribly.
I think what happened with Pease was not that he was a bad coach. I think he was stuck in a situation where they wanted to run certain specifics. They had the athletes, and when you have athletes in the SEC who are more likely to kind of do their own thing than just, you know, go for the OKG recruit, as Peterson calls it, the okay guy. You know, I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
I see. So right now we don't know what's going on.
No.
I think I'd go to Harsin. I'd go to Harsin because he's been head coach for a couple of years, and Kevin going at a tough place in Arkansas State. That he's been their fifth coach in 5 years, and they kept the bowl game going consecutive years. Or did they go to the bowl game? I know they had a winning record. Did Arkansas State make the bowl game?
State, I don't know.
I'm checking real quick because I know there's 10 teams. Sorry, San Jose State, that got off out of the bowl game.
But anyway, while we're talking about Peterson, we're all talking
they
about
did. They're playing Carson. Ball State in the GoDaddy.com bowl.
But while we're talking now, let's go ahead and shift. Wyoming.
Pokes got their man. Surprise, man.
They're going bowling.
I'm like, I'm saying, wait a second. You are correct. They are going bowling with Greg Bull, head coach.
Yes, that was a horrible pun, and you know.
No, that worked well, perfectly well. Don't deny yourself of a good pun.
I better see it on the headlines tomorrow.
I should somewhere. I actually do need to write an article about the coach, so I could make something up about that. But yeah, Greg Bull. Who, I guess the guy from Coaching Search heard about it like on Tuesday, saying who was the guy, but he couldn't confirm anything, so he's not going to run with it. He just says, like, I'm hearing an interesting guy or something.
My biggest question here right now is Bull going to finish coaching out the season?
Yes, he is. He's already said, because he went on his coach's show this morning. He was in North Dakota this morning, Sioux Falls, I believe. Did his coach's show. If you looked at our website today, sorry, we posted 25 things, so we don't keep track of it all. But he did a video. He did his coach's show, so the first segment is online. He's going to coach a season, which could be this week ending because they're in the quarterfinals, but they're the number one team and undefeated.
They're going – let's just – okay. So Craig Bull's resume right now
– pretty good.
North Dakota State has won back-to-back national
championship. Hold on. I want to stop you or something. Sorry. Are we doing a comment real quick?
What?
Take one step back to the Boise State job. Some guy puts – not referring to me, but somebody – I don't want – somebody's like, I don't want a defensive guy, Justin Wilcox. Response, Wilcox is not just a defensive guy. He played tight end and special teams in college.
He did play – He's right. No, I was – okay. Story time. Okay. So, story time.
What do you got?
So, Wilcox played at the University of Oregon. Yes, tight end and defensive end. As well as John Kirk. John Kirk was the son of my first and second grade teacher in elementary school, Miss Kirk, Mrs. Kirk, and Justin Wilcox and John Kirk came to my class.
For what reason?
Just to come visit. They were Oregon propagandists. I was living in Eugene at the time.
Ah, I see.
That's like one of the coolest moments ever is you as a little kid following college football and having two players. And Wilcox was a good player. I mean, people knew about Wilcox coming in and like going to your class just for fun. But yes, I do remember he played tight end.
I thought that's interesting. Well, normally an offensive guy, you don't think of a tight end or special. I think your comment is not just a defensive guy. You know what I mean? It's kind of, he played kicker. He knows special teams. Come on. Or something like that. All right, go back to what you're on a roll about Mr. Bull and his resume, which is quite
stellar. Frank Bull, right now, back-to-back national championships with North Dakota State in the quarterfinals to try and make it three in a row. All right?
Bobby and they're undefeated. Howe. Undefeated. Number and one. Hosted college game day this year.
They are like the Alabama, except possibly better. I know I just pissed off all one Alabama fan who listens to the show. But, I mean, not what I mean like better, but I mean, there has been rarely an opportunity where North Dakota State has slipped up this season. I've got to look at their schedule because
being an FBS team, I'm sure they usually play one every year. They played Wyoming a couple years ago, and Wyoming snuck out a win.
So was that his interview right there?
Who almost beat you? No. No, what else? I was reading up on, there's a guy from Huskers.com who put in there apparently, or not even that. Well, I'll get to him in a second, but I read an article like Coaching Search had all these anonymous sources saying they're shocked that he left because apparently North Dakota State has anything Wyoming has, they're better at. In facilities, recruiting. Because they've beaten Wyoming on recruits. I looked at the 2014 recruiting rankings right now, which is kind of fruitless at some point. Wyoming has only like a couple of recruits. They're 152nd. That includes that. As people know, there's only 125 SBS schools. And North Dakota State was like 115, which means you're beating a handful of FBS schools.
But body of work right here.
100 wins or something like that?
I don't know. Body of work. I mean, just the season alone, okay? You beat Kansas State your first game of the season. And then just completely dominate. They beat then number 6 ranked South Dakota State 20-0.
Yeah, they're like giving up 11 points a game on the defense.
Beat number 4 Northern Iowa 24-23. Then just completely dominated everybody again. And then went to Youngstown State. Dominated them 35-17, and Youngstown State is ranked 15th in the country in the FCS.
They played a tough schedule there.
That's a very tough schedule in terms of FCS. And then their first game in the second round against Furman, 38-7.
Does this mean we need to start having North Dakota State coverage while they're in the playoffs?
Do you want to have North Dakota State coverage? I don't know.
This week has been crazy. I don't want any more coverage. All the great help with everybody, Ben and Matt doing all sorts of extra work normal this week. This week and today has been like the craziest day ever, but we've had a lot of people visit the website. So we may mention it. A tweet?
Yeah, tweet.
Tweet.
Rockin' Robin, tweet. Tweet, rockin'. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Okay. Another thing I heard about, like, cause I've been following this thing pretty well, kind of see who he is and looking into it. There's a guy who apparently they're offering him more money. His base pay is not great. It's about $750 guaranteed.
Dude, $575 in North Dakota, you're living like a king.
Now he's getting $750 per base, but reports are saying it's at least 1.5 to 2, which is more than Christensen was making. I'm wondering, is it just oil and natural gas money they have people paying Wyoming for this? Paying the coaches? I'm just saying, where do they come up with that money, man?
Dude, mine.
But then also, did
precious
you know
precious minerals?
Sure. Random trivia. Did you know Craig Bull's a pilot? And so he has access to a plane whenever he wants. That's part of the reason he chose that as well. It's like, oh, I got to jet on the plane to go visit a recruit. Team Chargers right here. I'll fly the team to wherever, San Diego State. He's a certified pilot. Are you looking that up, or do you think I'm just making things up?
No. I totally believe you.
I hear you typing in the background. That's why. And there's one.
I totally believe you because it sounds like a personality that Wyoming would hire.
And then there's one other thing here. I'm trying to pull up where I wrote it. There's one other notion I wanted to mention. What was it here? Oh yeah, great thing for Wyoming. Back to the money thing. Like, how do they pay the guy? But their assistant coaching staff is going to be huge, like salary wise, which is great because you don't want a guy who's your quarterback's coach or offensive coordinator. Look what happened to Wyoming last year. Their OC left to New Mexico State for the same job.
Yeah.
So they're bummed up the pay for there, and it looks like the whole staff is coming with them too, from North Dakota State to Wyoming.
Dude, why? I'm terrified of Wyoming now.
Also, you know how you were concerned about the play about him not coming to town anytime soon?
Yeah.
However, there's a new recruiting rule, dead period December 15th for a month. You can't have – there's no in-home visits allowed. So it's not like he's going to be missing out on any of that recruiting yet either. You got to do phone
calls. That's okay. Ain't nothing wrong with meeting in the Starbucks, Paul.
Get that bump in? Like the basketball, the tournament. Oh, bump in rule?
Exactly. Yeah, the bump in rule.
All right. Is there any other coaching stuff we need to discuss or anything you want to know more about, tidbits from Wyoming I figured out from Coach Bowling?
Lane Kiffin for somebody?
I think
he's absolutely probably not.
No. No more Wyoming stuff. Was there any other coaching? Tim Drutter, maybe somewhere. Maybe. That's nothing's come up. But oh, there was a teeny tiny rumor of Troy Calhoun to Wake Forest. That's not happening.
No.
Bowl stuff? Bowl season?
Bowl!
Start singing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Hey, got you to do it. Nice. Thank you.
Where Gildan is sponsoring and Armed Forces blowing, and here it's a cheer. It's the most Maction-y time of the year.
Excellent. New opening song?
Probably. No, absolutely not.
Okay, here's the bowl scenario. First off, San Jose State got shut out. Is that surprising to you?
A little. And I'll say a little because they beat Fresno State. They took Fresno State. You know, they're the ones who are responsible for not giving us our BCS bowl.
No, but they also, yeah. But also, they only had 6 wins, but they did beat Colorado State, San Diego State. Or no, excuse me.
No, they didn't.
Colorado State and UNLV, 2 bowl teams, where CSU, as we pointed out, has not won a bowl team against a bowl team all year.
Yeah, but CSU to New Mexico is extremely logical.
True. But then they also –
honestly, here's the thing about this.
Don't lose to Nevada.
Yeah, right?
Going to say that if you're 7-5, you're
that,
probably
that going. Really was what it did, was probably the loss to Nevada. Because out of all these, I mean, Ohio.
They have a good record.
They have a good record, but, you know.
It's Ohio. You're going to upset Brian.
I know. But I would have taken San Jose State over a couple MAC teams.
Maybe. But we did get the excellent MAC game. Utah State, Northern Illinois, and San Diego. You better be going to that game.
Awesome. Yeah, right.
What?
We don't have money right now.
Credentials, boy. We can get you in.
Credentials, boy. I got to be around the area for credentials.
Well, you have a job lined up in a month?
No, I don't.
If you can drive down there, I'm just saying. I can apply.
I'm moving around. Hey, if you get me credentials for that, remember, we tried to get credentials last year.
True. But this – okay. We'll discuss this offline, but off air. But we did get credentials to the NCAA Sweet 16 for you.
This is true.
And I got Salt Lake, and we had season – well, we'll discuss it. We've been places, so I'm hoping – I was hoping, like, go to Boise, Utah State, Northern Illinois. Didn't happen. Because I would have drove for the 6 hours to that game.
But, I mean, what the Mountain West has a pretty damn good bowl lineup right now. You got the New Mexico Bowl, which is Colorado State with Jim McElwain imitating the process to a certain extent versus the Dread Pirates Washington State squad to Mike kick Leach. Off the bowl season.
That.
Mike Leach.
The only thing I don't like, why are the Mountain West games, the first three games are all bunched to each, within each other?
That I don't understand. You got the Purple, I mean, the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. You know, as much as we make fun of that, they actually have a pretty good updated logo for the Las Vegas Bowl.
They do. Yes.
They did a good job with that. And that's another great game, Fresno State versus USC.
A game that would never happen regular season ever.
Well, you know, because...
Or at least once in a decade.
Because USC almost lost.
Yeah, almost. They need Reggie Bush to do some magic.
Yep. Famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Buffalo versus San Diego.
This is also... Who's coaching USC in that game? Is it going to be Sarkisian? Is Orejon's out?
I do not know.
We don't need to discuss too further into stuff like that, but I'm trying to see if the odds are up.
We can talk about that in our bowl preview.
We'll have plenty of bowl games and guests later, but yeah, continue with the matchups.
Famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Buffalo, SUNY Buffalo, which has been very good this year.
Are they 10-2, I believe?
9-3, I think. 10-2, okay. 9-3, one of the two.
They're a good San team.
Diego, versus San Diego State, who probably would have been a lot better, except for the fact that they went and blew it against a decent UNLV team.
Also, there's the – I can't think of the guy's name, but I would like to see Adam Wema crush edge with the MAC Player of the Year, that linebacker from Buffalo, I'm trying to think of his name. Buffalo's 8-4. Who was that guy? But there they have some – he's like NFL, first or second round NFL draft pick potential, and people are like, I want to see Adam Wema go up against that guy. McKeel, something I think, if I'm correct.
Boise State really needs to step up their game because they're playing Oregon State in the Hawaii Bowl, which is good for a lot of reasons. First of all, Boise State has a chance to get rid of those Hawaii Bowl demons from a few years ago against ECU. Secondly, the Boise State basketball team will be playing on the islands during that same time. Which, I mean, they're probably going to try and offer a package deal.
They should. I'd put, because I think Chad Kripp of the Idaho Statesman noted on the like, tickets like 1,000 to fly. Why not? If you're going all out, man, take just cruise that go from Southern California or Seattle to Hawaii. Take that cruise, spend Christmas for a week, and then take a cruise back.
Yep.
Just saying. If you can swing it, go all out.
So, I mean, So we've already had a pretty darn good bowl lineup. And then we get the Poinsettia Bowl, San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, Utah State versus Northern Illinois.
Jordan Lynch.
Jordan Lynch versus this Utah State defense.
Jack Dowdy. Nate Vigil, a lot of guys. That will be interesting to see. This would be the best defense he's played all year.
Really? Yeah, not Bowling Green's defense?
They were pretty good last week. I don't know. It's good. And to X, that's a. So if you're to rank these bowls, there's one.
Oh, hey, we're not done.
I forgot we had a record 16 bowl, and I forget.
We have one more. We have a bowl. New Year's Day bowl from a team who hasn't made a bowl game in 13 years. UNLV.
Should we just start yelling, "Hey Reb"?
Hey Reb, going to the heart of Dallas Bowl. Playing the Mean Green of North Texas. That's going to be a good bowl game to watch, too, because North Texas is sneaky good.
Do you know also, fun fact, I read this is North Texas is the only team to play UNLV twice and has not got a victory against them.
You're kidding.
No, the only team they played more than once was not beaten UNLV, and they played them twice.
Hopefully the streak continues.
Let's just say that's... Kind of bald stuff when you have it like that's a pretty good one to have.
Yeah, right? All right, so if I were to rank these games, was that where you were going with that?
Yeah. It's safe to say the Poinsettia Bowl is number one.
Oh. No.
Really?
No.
No.
Actually, yes.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I was debating between that and the Las Vegas Bowl.
I can see that, but USC is such a mess with the coaching change. Who knows how it's going to work out? They've been a schizophrenic team all year. And they almost won 10 games, man. And then they did not win 10 games.
I'd put that one second. I'd probably go, would you put that one second too?
Yeah.
And then third, would you put the Idaho Bowl? Buffalo playing San Diego State?
No, I would put the New Mexico Bowl.
Mexico Bowl, interesting.
Offense.
What about Boise State, Oregon State could be interesting.
Yeah, that could be interesting too.
There's a lot of good games. I'm glad there's better. Sometimes there's games like, I don't want to watch this crappy game. But the worst game is probably Washington State, Colorado State, and that's not a bad game to watch.
Really? You think that's the worst game? Because I think, I'm sorry, defense fans.
UNLV North Texas, maybe that was it.
I'm sorry, defense fans, but the famous Idaho Potato Bowl is going to be lots of defense.
Doesn't mean it's a bad game.
I know, but I like my points.
True.
This is WAC 2.0. I demand lots of scoring.
I want my points now.
I want my points now. I think that was the best SEC championship game I've ever seen.
That was on Twitter. Like, where's the defense? I'm like, it's better than the 9-3 LSU Alabama regular season.
9-6.
9-6. It's like, I can get people saying too many points. But there, I heard people say, if this gets in the upper 20s, that's a disgrace to the SEC and their defense. I'm like, no, it's not. Give us points.
Okay.
Nick Saban can suck it.
So we obviously agree on the first two and then kind of differs after that. I want to ask you a question.
Go for it. That's the plan. That's what we do.
All right. So pick your favorite BCS bowl game and non-Mountain West bowl game.
Oh, I have to pull up the bowl game. I haven't looked too closely. I am shocked. Oh, I am ticked Oklahoma got a BCS bowl bid over Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
It's Alabama's already like a two-touchdown favorite. I'm going to say the title game. It has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma State, Missouri.
I figured that was going to be the go-to.
Oklahoma State, Missouri is going to be a good game, too. Ohio State, Clemson, maybe. Clemson got in because we're – oh, I know why. Because wasn't Clemson number four in the final BCS? Or was it
– No, Michigan State. Michigan State went all the way up to four.
Oh, four, okay. Because I was thinking that's why. But I don't know why not Oregon, man. I get taking Ohio State in the Orange Bowl, but Oklahoma. So what were you going to say? Take the non-champion game and pick one?
No. BCS? You can totally pick the championship game.
Oh, I was looking at Oklahoma State, Missouri. That's the Cotton Bowl. My mistake. That's a good one. And so then the next would be my favorite non-BCS out of all that, non-Mountain West. Let me peruse here really quick. Tulane, Louisiana, Lafayette? No.
Really?
No. I love
me some New Orleans Bowl.
That game versus San Diego State in the Raging Cajun a couple years ago is pretty nice.
Yeah, but last year's game was good as well.
Let's see here. Sorry, I know this is great. Marshall, Maryland, I think Marshall will crush him. That's not it.
You know,
I like Stuart Mandel's tweet. If Syracuse and Minnesota is playing in September and that noon Eastern game on ESPN2, we'd all be mowing our lawns. So true. No, not BYU Washington.
No, I will tell you. If
you know yours, tell me what I'm looking so I don't just start mumbling along.
No. Here's the thing. Yes, there are way too many bowl games. But bowl games allow for matchups like some of these games that you
Oregon, Texas?
See in the regular season. Oregon, Texas is one. Arizona State, Texas Tech should be a good match.
Possibly.
Duke,
Texas A&M, that's going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Duke.
Oh.
Your example, Nebraska, Georgia.
Yeah, it's going to be a great matchup, but it's going to be a sad bowl.
I would say Oklahoma, my non-BCS, got to be a Cotton Bowl. Oklahoma State, Missouri.
Yeah, no, totally. Bring the Big 12 back, kind of have an old Big 12 shootout.
I could see Arkansas State, Ball State be interesting, but Oklahoma State, Missouri.
All right. I'll go with that. So I'm totally with you on the national championship. I think it's definitely a good one this year.
Points.
I'm going.
You got anything else to add? Because we've been going for a while. I don't have the timer up since we recorded in a different way, but I know we've been going for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and say this: Arizona State, Texas Tech is going to be an awesome Holiday Bowl.
Traditionally, it has. But
and I love the Holiday Bowl anyway. So
I'm it used to be great. Now it's the Alamo Bowl for essentially for what Holiday Bowl used to be. All right, so do you have anything else to add about the bowl season, title game, coaching movements. Are you okay with Coach Pete finally leaving? We didn't ask you that question.
Yeah. I mean, I was sad about it, obviously, but, you know, I don't wish ill upon him. How's that?
Perfect. That's a great a nice answer. And I'm pretty sure knowing you, that's probably the case.
Yeah.
For the most part. Right. Probably after, well, I guess 4 days later, I guess that's the case. Initially.
No, you could have asked me, you could have asked me that day.
Friday morning?
Yeah.
How early did they do that? Because there's, I didn't get up too early, but there's, I'm like, before 6 a.m., he's first saying it was done. I'm like, did Coach Pete not sleep?
He probably had trouble sleeping.
I figured that was pretty early for being a West Coast gig. But all right, so I think we're done here. Here's our plan for the postseason. We're going to discuss right now what we're going to do. We're going to do a show next week and discuss something. We'll do this week after, which will be mostly
Wow.
I want to keep once a week. Is that too much?
All right, well, let's talk about shooty hoops.
Are we going to talk basketball?
Yeah.
Not right now. I think we've gone long enough.
Oh, no. Obviously.
For one game and stuff, we've gone probably much longer. And I'll know the time momentarily when I pause YouTube.
Well, you know, we've only been talking about coaches and games and bowl games. That's a lot to be talking about, Paul.
One game. Yeah. All right, so hold on. I actually need to pull up my page here to – So delete. And maybe actually watch this on YouTube. I apologize. We did not mean to record this for YouTube.
I haven't been paying attention at all. So.
Me either. I am now, but
I probably have been like making like weird faces. I'm like laying on
me
my
too. Couch. Yeah, I see you now. I gotta hit the pause button. But that's what we got for tonight. Jeremy here. Chris hanging out there. I'm assuming you're not in snowy weather there in Southern California.
No, but it is, you know, high 30s.
I would take that right now.
I'll take snow.
We had a ton of stuff Saturday morning, but we're not going to discuss anymore. But that's the show for tonight. Again, join us at MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWCConnection. And, yeah, check out for bulk coverage coming from every angle and coaching searches throughout the wazoo.
Musha!
We're ending now. Good night, everybody.